Blog Talk Radio.
Again, Scootomania, and it's December 1st. It's hard to believe that we are at December 1st today. And in eight days, it will be Hanukkah, which is the Festival of Lights, incredible holiday for the Jews around the world and everybody else that wants to celebrate it. And it goes back many, many years, of course, to the destruction of the original temple in Jerusalem. And the Festival of Lights is that when they reclaimed the temple, that there was only technically and supposedly enough oil for one night as far as light. And by some incredible miracle, the oil burned for eight nights. Hence, eventually a celebration began and Hanukkah celebrated ever since. And it's a time of you know, celebration, similar to the festive season. And one of the greatest things about Hanukkah, in my opinion, has always been the food. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Hanukkah food. And it's really some of my favorite food in the world. And it's not necessarily subject specifically to Hanukkah. But it's certainly a great excuse, in my opinion. Well, for most people who don't know about Hanukkah, but they know about, you know, the Christmas season and the holiday season, it's always, you know, big meals and associated with, you know, of course, hams and turkeys and big, huge amounts of Christmas dinner food, which is great. And Hanukkah celebration, generally, they don't have necessarily one night that's a big meal. It kind of goes on for 8 days, and every night it might be something different. For instance, one night it might be something really simple like bagels and lox and cream cheese and some salad. Another night it might be something like stuffed cabbage, which we're going to do an amazing recipe in a couple of minutes. And then also it goes on to maybe a good brisket of beef and, of course, freshly baked challah bread, which is a beautiful braided egg bread, and on and on. And one of my favorite ways to start off any Hanukkah celebration or talk is to talk about potato pancakes. Potato pancakes is something that is always celebrated with Hanukkah. In some cases, they're called latkes, and latke, another sort of Yiddish word for pancake or flattened sort of cooked item. And sometimes they're made with potatoes. Sometimes they're made with matzah meal, unleavened bread, crunched down, and some eggs and salt and pepper and oil, and you got some beautiful latkes too. Very, very simple food because, seriously, you know, in those days, it wasn't like you can go to, you know, Whole Foods and get anything you wanted. So basically, these recipes were developed and cooked literally from the time you woke up in the morning till pretty much it was time to eat. And that was my household in a nutshell growing up. Hey, if anybody has a Hanukkah idea, by the way, you can call in very easily, and all you have to do is dial in this number, 323-580-5779. I'd love to hear from you, and you can call in at any time and talk to me and tell me a Hanukkah story. Be on the air with us. All right, so let's talk about potato pancakes. Now, simple, delicious, and wonderful, and everybody has their own little trick to make them, and I have mine, and this is what I do. I take some Yukon Gold potatoes, which are those beautiful golden potatoes, and I peel them nicely, and then I take them. And I, now potatoes are funny because, you know, once you start working with a potato, you got to get it in the water, you got to get it in the oven, you got to get it cooked. And if you have it sitting around, in a very short time, your potato is going to turn sort of dark and brown. It's just going to happen. Not that that's not edible. It just doesn't look that great. And so we want to work this out. So the way I like to do them is I like to prep it and cook it pretty quickly, not pre-make all the potato, pancake or latke mix, and then use it later, because it doesn't usually work very good at that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get four really nice size Yukon Gold potatoes and peel them really good. We're going to get two eggs, a little bit of salt and pepper, and about a third of a nice size sweet onion. Okay, first off, I'm going to take a big bowl. I'm going to take my little grater here, and I'm going to go ahead and mince this onion really fine. Oop. And, you know, there's so many tricks not to cry when an onion is being peeled. And my philosophy and what I've learned over the years is nothing really works. But occasionally it does. And so I keep my mouth quiet. One of the very few times you can keep my mouth shut is to ask me to prep an onion. Because by keeping my mouth shut, for some reason, my eyes don't tear. And I was going to say, by keeping my mouth shut, other people's ears get a rest. No, I'm kidding. All right. So in a potato pancake, I take it and mince that onion into a bowl. Then I'll take my potato and I'll grate it in the small grate as well. Not like a hash brown grate. I would use... just a slightly bigger grate, maybe something where a grated cheese, a little bit larger, starts grated cheese, not necessarily a Parmesan grate. And I grate those potatoes. I like a little substance to them. But you want to grate them fine because, you know, the thing is you're cooking a raw potato in this process. All right, then get your potatoes in mixed with the onion. A little bit of black pepper. When I say a little bit, you know, just a nice sprinkle of it so it finds its way through it. And a little bit of kosher salt. I like that. And then take your two eggs and go ahead and beat them up and then stir them in and fold them into the mixture. Now, sometimes people like to use a third egg, and that's okay. You can do that if you like them a little richer. And then I also take about a third of a teaspoon of cooking oil. I use a nice fresh vegetable oil, and I don't use an olive oil because it has too much of a flavor. And I just mix that in. With my mixture. And I don't know what that is. It's just something my grandmother used to do. And she said, just do it. And I don't think I was old enough to really ask her why. So I just trusted that worked. But it does work. All right. Now, pardon me. To cook it, there's a couple of different, methods to do it. And there's really, in my opinion, only one. But some people like to cook it in butter. And I don't like that. I think they burn and I don't think they work as well. So I take a nice, really nice size frying pan, and what I'm going to do is get that ready and put it on the heat here, and then I turn it up slightly to below medium, and then go ahead and add about a quarter inch of oil. You don't want too much oil, you don't want it too greasy, but just coat the pan really nice with a little bit of depth to it. All right, now in the meantime, there's a few things you want to prepare in advance as well. You want to get some really nice applesauce, preferably make it yourself. And if you can do that, that'd be great. And simple applesauce is really take 7 to 8 apples of your choice. I like to use for an applesauce, for this case, something a little nice like a Honeycrisp would work really good, or a nice Johnny Gold might work really good. Peel them, take all the seeds and cores out, and put them in a saucepan. And then put enough water to get about halfway up the height of the apples. Then I put, my grandmother's way, just simply 1 cup of brown sugar into that mixture. And then slightly cook it down until it becomes sort of applesauce. And I like to leave it chunky. So you can make that the night before because it's nice to have that done. Also get some really nice sour cream, dairy-free if you need it, or fat-free, whatever you like. But some really nice sour cream. Those are really the only two condiments I like with potato pancakes. I know people that use other things like ketchup and jelly and things like that. You know, do whatever you like. But this is always a really beautiful little tradition. All right, so we're going to get the oil nice and hot now. We're going to go ahead and put those pancakes in the pan. And we'll just flatten them out. I like them about four inches, I would say, in diameter. And I like, a little bit of, some people like to make them smaller. They used to call them like the silver dollar size. Nah, I would say three times the size of that would be great. Now, this is beautiful. They're going to get golden brown, and each side, don't play with them once you get them in the pan. You should easily be able to turn it over until they're gorgeous on all sides. And that, the whole idea is to have enough oil so that they get the color, but you don't want them saturated with oil. That's really important. So when they're done, I usually take them carefully out of the pan and put them on a rack, just with some paper towel underneath it, and just let it, you know, let it drain. Then I can pat them dry with a little paper towel too, if you want to. And that's your potato pancake, served with a beautiful applesauce and some sour cream. The Hanukkah festival, I'm telling you, and that's a really delicious thing. And then you don't have to; it doesn't have to be Hanukkah for you to have a good potato pancake, by the way. Now, secondly, one of the things with potato pancakes also is you can also use it as a side dish. And a lot of people do that when they have like a brisket of beef or something like that. Pardon me this morning, got a little heck in my throat. You can absolutely take that potato pancake and use it as a side dish, and it works really good. You also can use the same mixture to make sort of a breakfast potato too, but stick to the potato pancake. That's where to go. All right, now, if you look at the Chef Stuart's Foodomania Facebook page today, you'll see pictures of some of these things. And one of the great pictures on today's page is what I call stuffed cabbage. Some people call it Jewish stuffed cabbage. The Yiddish word for it is halishkas. If somebody says you want some halishkas, you know, don't say no right away. and also, not everybody's a big cabbage freak and likes it that much. But trust me, this meal is delicious. And this is the Ashkenazi or Eastern European recipe for this specific dish. And lots of times, there's a holiday called Sukkot, and that's usually when stuffed cabbage happens. But you know what? I just had it absolutely without a shadow of a doubt. I have it on Hanukkah because it's just another excuse to make them. And it takes quite a bit of time. So let me tell you, the total time from start to finish is a little under an hour to make these halishkas or stuffed cabbage. And this is what you're going to need, okay? Let's talk about the sauce first, because this is one of the keys to the whole thing. I'll tell you about all the ingredients. So get a whole head of cabbage. You need about 4 pounds of it. And get the largest head that you can, because the bigger the leaf, the easier it's going to be. Then get yourself a large can of peeled tomatoes, unless you want to use fresh ones. Usually about a 28-ounce can or so will work. And then I take an onion and I chop it really, really fine. Bring those apples back again. I use a Granny Smith because I like it's a little tart. At least one apple, and I peel it and take all the skin and seeds out, core it, and then coarsely grate it. And then you want about a quarter of a cup of lemon juice, pardon me, a quarter of a cup of white sugar, and a quarter of a cup of firmly packed brown sugar, you know, tight because that's a little more air in it, and then a teaspoon of sour salt. Called sour salt. It's a great citric acid, component, and you can get that in your spice section. Okay. Now, one of the keys to my stuffed cabbage recipes, I also add a third of a cup of white raisins to the sauce. I love that, and you'll see why. Now, you're also going to be using some raisins inside the roll as well. Okay. So let's talk about that part of it. For the mixture that we're going to put in the actual cabbage, we're going to do 1 cup of raisins, and what I do is do a half a cup of white ones, a half a cup of dark ones. I just think the white raisins work better. A tablespoon of kosher salt, about a quarter of a teaspoon of pepper. Now, in the filling, you know, specifically with this whole idea, you're going to go ahead and take 2 pounds of ground beef, a large grated onion again, 2 large eggs, a couple of teaspoons of raw rice, and you know, if it's Passover and you're making this, you know, of course you can't have the rice. But let me say this. I like to cook it a little bit first, but you can use raw rice, 2 tablespoons of it. Some people put a little bit more in. A tablespoon of matzah meal or Jewish breadcrumbs and 2.5 teaspoons of kosher salt and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. All right? This is beautiful. Now, let me get something clear. In the sauce part of it, pardon me, I got a little something going on today. In the sauce part, remember that mixture. And by the way, I'll get you all these recipes. You'll be able to write me and get them. Remove the cabbage the core from the center of the cabbage. When I say remove the cabbage, the core in the center, and get the whole head in a large pot after you remove the core and boil it with salted water for about 3 or 4 minutes or until softened enough till you pull off the leaves. Now, you do not want to overcook it. You'll need about 20 leaves or so, and you don't want to overcook it. So when the leaves are, you know, cool enough to handle and you're not burning your hands, I use like a little knife or something to cut away the center of the stem for each leaf without cutting all the way through. Now, you go ahead and make the sauce. After you get your cabbage leaves laid out, take the tomatoes and the juices and everything in a large saucepan, add your crushed tomatoes. Usually use a wooden spoon for that and bring it to like a boil. And go ahead and we'll reduce the heat and cook for about 15 minutes or until thickened, as they say. And then go ahead and stir in that onion, the raw onion and the apple and the lemon juice and both sugars, the sour salt, the raisins, and the kosher salt and pepper. And go ahead and return it to a boil. And I like to, just till I get it to a boil, and I reduce the heat and let it go for about 20 minutes. And then I can add more sugar or juice, you know, lemon juice if I want it sweeter. I like it sweet. Once that's done, go ahead and set the sauce aside. Now, for the filling, take the ground beef and the grated onion, the eggs, the rice, and the matzo meal and all that, salt and pepper, and then mix it thoroughly. Don't overmix it. I like to keep it left, and we want the meat... if you overmix it and you and play with it too much, believe it or not, that ground beef is going to be absolutely 100% tougher. Now, to take the rolls and assemble them, take about a half a cup of meat on each cabbage leaf, roughly. So lay out your leaf and put about a half a cup of meat in the center. You want to not make them too small or too big so they won't close. And then go ahead, from away from you, roll away like a sort of a burrito or a wrap. And I feel... the left side and the right side to the center, and then just roll it. And there you go. You have something that looks kind of like an envelope or a sleeping bag. And then always roll away from you. That's the deal. You always want to roll away from you as opposed to roll towards you. Now, once the rolls are all done, which is so cool, take and you'll have, you know, all of them. Spoon a little bit of sauce on the bottom of a large casserole dish. Where I use a Dutch oven for myself. I love my Dutch oven. And if those of you who don't know what a Dutch oven, it's a metal, heavy steel pot with a steel lid. So you can put stuff in it and then put the whole thing into the oven. It's like a separate oven within an oven. And I always use my Dutch oven for stuffed cabbage. So I put the sauce in, and then I take, you know, when I do that, and any remaining little cabbage leaves, I also place over the sauce, meaning some extra leaves. And then I take the cabbage rolls and I arrange them on top of the sauce with the seam down. In other words, you know, you have a seam in there. And then on top of the cabbage leaves, as many layers as necessary, I pour the remaining sauce over everything. Now, on the stovetop, in my Dutch oven, I bring it to a slight boil, and I reduce the heat. Now, sometimes you can stick it into the oven, in the Dutch oven, after you get it to a little boil, or you can do the whole thing on the stovetop. But you want to cook it for literally about 1.5 to 2 hours until everything is cooked through. So what I do, if you put it in a Dutch oven, you go ahead and set your oven to 310 degrees, 320 maybe, and I keep it in there for about 35 to 45 minutes, and you're done. If you do it on the stovetop, it's the same. Now, say with the magic of radio or time, we've just shot into the future, and it's 45 minutes from now. You go ahead and pull out your plate, and you take your lid off carefully, and you smell it, and you go, oh, my gosh, holy Ashkenazi. And you go ahead and take a little bit of a nice spoon and spoon some sauce on a plate and then put two rolls on top of it. My gosh, you're right there. Now, for your kosher people, forget about this next idea, but I found over the years something that's really kind of fun with it, and my grandmother and mother probably would kill me, but I use a little bit of sour cream. And if you're kosher, just go ahead and use a non-dairy sour cream. And that'll work fine. And some people might do that. The little bit of sour cream adds just a little niceness to it. And let me tell you what, when you eat this, you're going to go, oh, my gosh, the cabbage is moist and tender. The meat and the raisins and the onion is delicious and fragrant and fluffy. And, my gosh, happy Hanukkah. It's a meal in itself. You don't really need anything else. I love it, and I hope that you will, too. That's your stuffed cabbage. Let me say now, before I go much further, Now, in order to get these recipes, because I'm talking so fast, please write me at Foodomania. You can send me a message via the Foodomania site under Foodomania or Chef Stuarto. You can write me directly at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. Or you can go to any one of my websites, either the Kitchen Cuisine website and Facebook. You can go to Stuarto Glass's Facebook page, or the best way is Chef Stuarto's Foodomania Facebook page, and write me that way. You also can go to my radio station at 1020radio.net and get me that way too. But I think the email is the quickest, most efficient way. And since there's only 8 days left, you may want to send those emails out today so I can get you back the recipe quickly. And that's it. That's a delicious, wonderful, incredible dish that I think for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to love. All right, so in the tradition of Hanukkah and things that are going on with Hanukkah, there's several different things that we can have as part of our incredible, you know, Hanukkah meal. And you know, aside from the stuffed cabbage and that sort of thing, a lot of people will do briskets of beef. They will do roasted chickens and things like that, which is really, really fun. The traditional, you know, Hanukkah foods, again, with the, between the potato pancakes and the stuffed cabbage, a really, really nice thing. And, you know, latkes, for the most part, or you know, potato pancakes, you know, some one of the really, really nice ways of doing those as well is some people actually use a salmon and make a salmon pancake or a salmon latke. You can mix a little bit of salmon into with the potatoes. You can do it that way. It's really, really not too bad. Now, and some nights, you know, you're just going to go really simple, and you're just going to get a really nice fresh bagel with some cream cheese, some sliced Bermuda or red onion. I love, they used to call them Bermuda onions. I still do sometimes. Some really nice fresh tomato and great lox, very, very fine gravlax, you know, sort of pickled salmon, sliced really thin. And sometimes that'll be enough for dinner. Just make a platter. Sometimes you can make some egg and tuna salad. Mixed together, by the way, we take half of a cup of egg salad with a half a cup of tuna salad and mix it together. It's fantastic. And put that aside. You can have your chopped herring if you like something like that. And, of course, fresh bagels and lox and assorted vegetables and things like that. Olives are really, really good. Some people really, really like to have hummus on Hanukkah. And hummus is a really, really nice dish. And, you know, you can go to Foodomania and find out about hummus. And, frankly, it's like chickpeas, olive oil, lemon juice, fresh parsley, garlic, and just all blended together to make a beautiful spread. Now, the other incredible thing that a lot of people like to do for Hanukkah and during the Hanukkah time is what's called a blintz. And blintzes are really, really something. And they're basically what I would say is they're sort of a Jewish crepe. That's the best way I can explain it. And it's a trick thing, but they're delicious. And I didn't put any pictures of blintzes up on Foodomania today, and I really wish I did because, yeah, you would have been able to see them. Maybe I'll do that later on today. But let's talk about a blintz really, really quick. A really, really delicious item that I think you'll probably really, really, really like. And I'll explain it to you right now. Blintz, again, it's like I said, sort of like a crepe, and it could be stuffed with different things. But the tradition of Hanukkah, in my opinion, is basically a cheese blintz. And cheese blintz, really simple, is the batter and whatever the filling is. And this is a really beautiful recipe, probably one of the best ones. This is how you make it. It's a basic crepe batter, and you use 1 cup of milk, 1/4 cup of cold water, 2 eggs, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, and a little bit of salt, about 1 tablespoon of sugar, and about 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter. I like to do that. And you melt it in advance, and a little bit more for sauteing. Beautiful. And so you make your batter. Now, as far as the, you take the milk, the water, the eggs, the flour, salt, and the sugar in a blender, and blend it on medium speed simply enough for 15 seconds, or until the batter is really smooth and lump-free. I found that using a blender is the best way to do this, because you get all the lumps out. Make sure you scrape down the sides of the blender and get all the, you know, gook into the center of the stuff. And then go ahead and pour in your melted butter, and then blend it again just to incorporate the butter. And I like to take the batter and I put it in the fridge for an hour. And if you make them immediately, they have a tendency to be rubbery. So if you let the batter rest for a while, they have a better texture and softer. And then I use an 8-inch crepe pan or something like that to cook it. And it's really, you don't have to keep buttering it. And if you have a seasoned crepe pan, you know what I'm talking about. So basically, it's a nonstick pan over medium heat. And all I do is I brush a little teeny bit of butter into the pan. But if it's a seasoned pan, you might not even need it. Then go ahead and pour about a quarter of a cup of batter into the pan and swirl it around until it covers the bottom. And any excess, pour back. Cook for literally 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds, until the batter sets. And lightly bang the edge of the pan with a wooden spoon to loosen the crepe. Then flip it and cook another 30 seconds, and that's it. The art of putting a crepe together, filling a crepe in the air, it takes practice. So, listen, you're going to have a couple of experimental, absolutely 100%, goof-ups first. Hey, it's just the way it is. And another thing, you might want to invest in a rubber spatula that's heat-proof, and that works really, really good to flip it. Now, the filling is really simple, and this is crazy. I use what's called pot cheese, if you can find it. It's a very dry cottage cheese. Some people like ricotta, and that works good too. My grandmother wouldn't like that very much. And then about 4 ounces of cream cheese, and I use about 3 tablespoons of confection sugar and a little teeny zested lemon rind and 1 egg. And I make that filling all together. I mix it all up, and it's nice and thick. And that's basically it. So once you have your crepe shell, go ahead and lay your filling in the center. Take the ends and fold it again, and then go ahead and put it in a pan with a little bit of butter until it's beautifully golden on all sides. Done. You have a cheese blitz. Now, some people like to put sauces over it. Fresh strawberries are good. A blueberry sauce is really good. Take a half a cup of frozen blueberries and put them in a saucepan. Add a little bit of sugar, very simply, a little bit of melted butter, and then go ahead, a little bit of lemon juice, and let it just... I put a little convection sugar and cook it off until you get a beautifully blueberry sauce. Some people like to use a little cornstarch in it to thicken it. Go ahead. I'm not a big cornstarch person. But then you got your blueberry topping. All right. Hanukkah. I was hoping I'd have enough time to play you some things. Now, I want you guys and girls to go get a pencil and paper and write this down. Please go to www.KSVR.org immediately when you get a chance. And when you see that site, that's one of my radio stations that I'm on, and they are very nice and gracious to put up my Hanukkah special every year. And if you go under the archive site and then special programmings, you'll see Stuardo's Hanukkah special. I want you to listen to that. You'll love it. It's a great special. It will be airing nationally this coming week. And the date, I believe, as far as I know right now, is going to be Friday night at 8 o'clock at ksvr.org, and you can get it online that way. I'll announce it on the Chef Stuardo's Foodomania Facebook page, so we'll have all that covered. All right, you guys and girls, happy Hanukkah. By the next time I talk to you, we're actually going to have a day or two before Hanukkah, but I'm going to be happy about the fact that today we can get you guys prepped and ready to start thinking about what you're going to cook, and hopefully you'll have a great celebration. And it's a great excuse, even if you're not Jewish, to have a Hanukkah meal. Why not? And just do something different, All right. And Foodomania, remember, is available in archives, so just go to blogtalkradio.com, as you are right now, and you can go back to shows and listen. Today is show 34. Next week will be our 35th show. And I'm pretty excited about it, that we've done 35 incredible weeks of this great, great, great thing, Foodomania. All right, this is Chef Stuardo. I'm really happy that you listened today, and I will see you next time.